Greetings, Saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we ask you for your great anointing today to make this plain to people, to give them understanding of the things that are coming, the wonderful things that you're planning. And we praise you for it, Lord, and we thank you for it. Please make it simple for all of us people who need simple. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to talk about the man-child and bride throne. And just be patient with me as I lay a little bit of foundation for anyone who may be new to this. Jesus laid down his physical body not only to take on a glorified body, but also in order to take on a spiritual corporate body through his word abiding in the saints. They are the word made flesh too. So the man-child is a corporate body within the church, which will be the first fruits in whom the full word is manifested. Like Mary, each believer has the seed of Jesus, the Word of God, growing in him as a baby in the womb of our hearts, right? And as in the parable of the sower, when the seed of the Word is sown in good ground, it will bring forth the fruit of Christ 30, 60, and 100-fold. And as the inner spiritual man grows in the image of Jesus, the outer carnal man is dying. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. So the resurrection life of Christ is being manifested in us through death to self. Philippians 3:10-15. And as we are united with Christ in his death, we too travail over our death to this world. And Jesus tells us that this sorrow of travailing in death to self would give way to the joy of bringing forth the life of Jesus. John 16:20. Verily I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for the joy that a man is born into the world. That's a man-child, right? So Jesus' disciples were likened to a woman in travail who brings forth the man-child in the image of Jesus, as in Revelation chapter 12. People don't understand that. Verse 22. And ye therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again. Oh, hallelujah. This is how we're going to see him again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. You know, we talk about seeing Jesus in the mirror, 2 Corinthians 3:18, until we are manifested in that same glory. So, in the mirror. That means Jesus is coming in his people. And the first fruits man-child are going to be just that, the first fruits. So he will see us again first in the Revelation 12 man-child body of reformers. Just as Christ was the first fruits in his time, the end-time man-child is the first fruits of those who manifest Christ after a time of apostasy or falling away. seeing this full manifestation of Christ in you, quote-unquote, as already accomplished at the cross, brings power from God to manifest it in the natural, which we do by faith, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that's faith, right? We don't live anymore. Christ lives in us, right? Are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So Paul tells us that Jesus comes in our mortal flesh, not glorified bodies. Not that he's not there, but first, 2 Corinthians 4:10 says, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus. So we too have to take up our cross and follow Jesus to death to self. That the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. What body is that? Well, verse 11 goes on, for we who live are always delivered unto death to self for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's right. This is the plan of God, not that you change on your way up. There's no truth to that. The fruit of Christ has to be in you before you go. And here, his life is manifested in our mortal flesh. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I am again in travail, until Christ be formed in you. Well, they were getting back under the law. So, I mean, they were missing out on the great manifestation of Christ. So, through death to self, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us and does his work through us. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. We consider it done. All things that we pray to God for, we are to believe we have received after the command of Jesus. In Mark 11:24, right? I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. The good confession, the good confession. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Yes, he did. So God is raising up a corporate man-child of spiritual Davids in these days, and they will lead the bride. They will be the head of the bride to bring them to maturity. We know that Jerusalem is the bride, according to Revelation, and the first fruits of Christ coming to be manifested in his people is the David man-child ministry. The head's born first, right? Mm-hmm. So we read in Luke 1:32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Oh, okay. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This is, of course, Jesus, but it's also Jesus in the man-child because history repeats on a larger scale. Okay, so Jesus is coming in a people called the first fruits first, of course. What many do not know is that David's throne was the throne of God, that Jesus, and now Jesus in the man-child, is caught up to. 2 Chronicles 9:8. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighteth in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them. Speaking about David, right? To do justice and righteousness, and David's seed, by the way. So notice that the throne of God was for the purpose of ruling over his people on earth, just as David and Jesus did and will do again. This is not a carnal king or a carnal throne. This is not going to be anybody glorifying flesh here. This is going to be the Lord, once again, coming in humble flesh in order to do his work and to be the spiritual leader over his people. That's why he's sending these reformers. He is the one in whom the Son of God lives. That spiritual David will be sitting upon God's throne on earth. Okay. He said, "He that overcometh will I give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." Revelation 3 and 21. So, what is it to sit in the throne? It's to have dominion. What Jesus gave to his disciples dominion, great dominion. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And as the Father sent me, so send I you. He sent him with dominion. He's giving us dominion. It's already written. It's a matter of us believing it. So, Jesus overcame and he sat down on the throne of God, which, once again, is an earthly but spiritual place of authority. He is coming in us. He's coming in a first fruits to rule and to reign, to lead God's people back to the ways of righteousness, to rebuild the tabernacle of David and the kingdom of David. So John wrote of this man-child and throne long after Jesus' ministry. Revelation 4 and 1. Come up hither, and I will show thee the things that, which must come to pass hereafter. So this was not about Jesus physically in Revelation 12. It's about a people that are going to come in his image, because this was long after Jesus. I'll show you the things which come to pass hereafter. And this is talking about the man-child body in his image. Revelation 12 and 5. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. It looks a lot like Jesus. But remember, this was the fulfillment of a prophecy that came after Jesus. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where, this is the woman church, by the way, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they, that's the man-child company, may nourish her 1,260 days. So the first fruits man-child company will be caught up to the throne of God to minister to the church in the wilderness for 3.5 years, just as Jesus did. And, of course, history has to repeat. Okay. This throne represents Jesus' exercising his authority on earth through the man-child body filled with his word and spirit. He said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." John 20 and 21. "And what things soever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." That's Matthew 18 and 18. And also, "He that receiveth you receiveth me." Matthew 10 and 40. Of course, no one will ever sit on the throne but Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1 and 27. For it's always he who rules in the heart and head of his body, and that is to be the Word made flesh. The kingdom of David will be restored as it was in Jesus' day. It's being done, right? And in our day. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations, which is the word for Gentiles, shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. That's Jeremiah 3 and 17. Well, notice that Jerusalem represents the name of the Lord. The word for name means nature, character, and authority, and this is of the Lord. So, we see a throne within a throne. We see David's throne in Jerusalem, but we see all of Jerusalem as the throne and also the bride. Yeah, because John said that the new Jerusalem that was coming down, that's not after the tribulation, friends. The new Jerusalem is coming down as that prophecy is being fulfilled. The bride is being manifested on the earth now. Okay. The new bride, right? So God's restoring the type of the kingdom of David. He's restoring the bride, and he's restoring the bridegroom. Yet again, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, Jeremiah 33:10-11, will be heard in spiritual heavenly Jerusalem. Now, I have a few revelations to share that relate to those who will be chosen to this position of the throne of the man-child and the bride. We're going to call this one Anointed Ministries Lead in Tribulation. MC got this back in 2011. The setting seemed to be dusk, but with enough light so I could see. Well, let me say that dusk is that time between day and night, indicating here a transition into darkness. He went on. On the road, there were many troop trucks with no canopies, filled with UBMers who were standing, waiting to be taken to a major event. Okay, my thought is... having no canopies represents the sun shining in, S-O-N, shining in. UBM ministry with its people are getting ready in the light of the sun, S-O-N, and in position for the spiritual battle with the beast, the harlot. Earthquakes, economic failure, tribulation, persecution, sickness, demons, etc. They went on. I've tried very hard to remember the event, but I haven't been able to remember it yet. Okay, so you don't remember it because it will not be revealed beforehand. Nobody except God knows the specifics of what is coming, but everyone will be given specific personal direction when the time comes. I wasn't yet, or at least I didn't feel qualified to be in the trucks. Well, I believe this reflects what probably most of us feel like in our present state, not worthy, not quite ready, yet to be marching on as peaceful warriors and anointed saints of God, right? They went on. Everyone had been waiting for a long time. Oh, yes, we have. And let me say, too, that we have been waiting for a long time because God is warning and cleaning out the factious and getting the elect ready as the time draws near. They went on. All of a sudden, David said, okay, it's time to go. Well, we know that the David man-child ministry is in the place of Moses in these days to lead the people into this wilderness to come. So David leading the troops represents the anointed man-child ministry on a global level, leading the saints, including UBM, into the wilderness tribulation, like Moses and Jesus did. So everything's according to the types and shadows. Everything is also multiplied as we see the same prophecies fulfilled in the end times into corporate bodies. He went on, so we all piled into his open-top army jeep, which was somewhere at the back of the convoy, and we sped off past all of the troop trucks. So the top was open, representing the David's unhindered communication with the Father. The jeep speeding past all the troops represents the David Manchild Ministries leadership of the church becoming stronger. And it was in Jesus' day, that same way, right? Those who were in the jeep but not driving could be the bride and witnesses who will receive the same anointing. So they went on. It was a very exciting moment. We roared past the first truck at the front of the convoy and headed into the dark tunnel ahead, which is, of course, the tribulation ahead. David waved his hand and called out jovially to the convoy, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Well, we just saw that, right? The last came up to the first, right? So we're seeing here the fulfillment of prophecies and the promise of God coming true after having been last for so long. The David ministry shall now be first to lead the battle in the tribulation. He went on, if I remember right, the tunnel was fairly short at the beginning of the trip. I suddenly realized that I was in his jeep, but should have been in the last truck, if at all. Well, this represents all the believers who are poor in spirit, not proud, right? And don't think highly of themselves, and don't believe that they deserve this privilege of being in the man, child, or bride companies. Yet they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven and be in the first fruits. Amen. It went on, I was very embarrassed and turned around in my seat trying to face the convoy, putting my hands together in a gesture and asking for forgiveness for getting ahead of where I should have been in the lineup. And I yelled, please forgive me. Their natural humility shows that they did not feel that they earned this position, but that we are accounted worthy through our faith and that it is ours by grace. Then I turned back around in my seat and just started to cry. This could be a weeping for joy and gratitude for such grace and anointing flowing to us freely from the Lord, as it will. I think we were all very happy to be finally headed towards the destination. The darkness of the tunnel didn't seem to matter. Well, the first job of the anointed David Ministries is to secure Jerusalem, the bride, from the old man of the land, as it says in 1 Chronicles 11:3 through 5. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And according to the word of the Lord by Samuel, and David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, the same as Jebus, and the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, were there. And that's the old man of the land, that Jerusalem has to be taken by the new man, by the spiritual man, right? I mean, the leadership Jerusalem represents the leadership, and yet the leadership of God's people is in disrepair, by, to say the least. And the inhabitants of Jebus said to David, "Thou shalt not come in hither." Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. So hence you see the Jeep passing up all the people, even the head of the line, right? So that's what's coming. It happened in Jesus' day. They didn't recognize it, but he was the head of his people, the church. So this one we call the Bride's Throne Authority. Amos Gags had this one in 2010. In a dream, there was a young woman. I believe this is representing the bride who will sit in the throne of authority with the king. A man looking up at her was questioning how she got to the control room. Wouldn't you say the throne, God's throne room is the control room? Yes, of course. Which was visible but not easily accessible. The way is straight and narrow and is visible in the word, but one must be faithful and dedicated in order to access it. She said there was really nothing to it because she worked outside of the control room and had been there many times. Well, let me say the dedicated ones have been working under the authority of the throne of God's of the throne room of God, okay, underneath them. And this was permanently attained to be a pillar in the temple of the Philadelphia bride and to go out no more, as in Revelation 3 and 12. Okay, so, I mean, learning to live as the man-child and as the bride is what we're talking about. The young woman climbed up a tall and very dangerous set of scaffoldings where the steps and handholds had to be precise to get to the control room. The man, who he says represents the false corporate leadership, was invited to follow her, but the way appeared too shaky and unstable for him. It's true, they don't like that. It is impossible for the apostate leadership to exercise God's true authority, for they are unstable and double-minded and without the renewed mind. They cannot walk in heavenly places any more than the Pharisees could. But Jesus and his bride, John said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom," attained. So the man went around to the back where he found a set of steps that wasn't as steep as the ladder the woman had climbed. Want the easy way, right? And, okay, so you can go to Bible school and you can get your certificate and go right to work, right? No, it don't work that way. To him that overcometh will I give authority, Jesus said. Okay. So John 10 and 1 says, "He that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So they stolen their position. Sounds like a government too, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. There's a faction in both, the government and the church. They don't come through the door, who is Christ, the Word. He climbed to the top, but couldn't keep up with the woman and lost track of her. And on the way, he met friendly people working with old equipment, representing inefficient traditional ways. All the man found were dead-end rooms and people causing him to lose direction and sight of the young woman. Well, that's just normal. They can't go there. Babylon means confusion. their authority rests on religious degrees and titles. Jesus, who is the Word, is the way. Only he that overcometh will sit with Jesus in his throne. The man never found the control room where the young woman went. You will never find the throne room of God's authority using traditional methods. There is a bride emerging who sees and lives more of God than the old antiquated and apostate church. Amen. Amen. Okay, now here's another one that's very good. Death and resurrection to the throne. This was given to Eve Brast in 2015. And this is a snippet of it. It's not the whole revelation. I dreamed I was high above the ground looking at a city neighborhood. Suddenly everything began to shake. Let me say that these quakes are foreshadowed by the ones at Jesus' death and resurrection, which bring the same results to the man-child reformer ministries and will shake much of the population. After the shaking ended, it seemed like everyone of us was relieved of some sort of burden. That sounds good. Well, the quakes will bring the resurrection life and anointing to the man-child with miracles and a time of grace, safety, and reward to the bride. Then the church will enter the wilderness tribulation and deliverance from the burdens that the Israelites bore, slaving for the Egyptians, right? Representing their old man, their old life, being ruled over by the old man of the land, right? So this would include deliverance from the financial burden since the Egyptians were plundered of their wealth. Some time passed as I watched children swinging and everything being peaceful, and then I heard in my spirit, after 3 days. So when Jesus died as a type of the man-child's spiritual death, after 3 days came the resurrection. That's a great relief, right? And the great earthquake, which we believe is the New Madrid quakes. So, let me say that there was an earthquake when Jesus died. 3 days later, there was a great earthquake. And we believe the 3 days later ends up at the New Madrid quakes. Once this was said, chaos among the people broke out everywhere, and they were stealing and killing people and running around in a panic to survive. Yes, the earthquakes going across this land could very well bring an end of the economy and many other things. So, this literally happened when the Egyptians lost their deep state army at the Red Sea. After the reality of the quakes and financial shaking sets in, like after 3 days, there would be great fear and panic, with survival instinct bringing us out of the worst in the lost. Martial law would bring bondage for those whose faith is in the beast instead of Jesus, right? And there was a shaking when Jesus died, and then after 3 days there was another great shaking when he arose. Matthew 27:54. Now the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake that was at his death, and the things that were done, feared exceedingly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And in Matthew 28:2, And behold, there was a great earthquake. That's 3 days later at his resurrection. The resurrection life of the man-child is what's going to cause him to live and walk and talk as Jesus, right? For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. Then there would be an empty grave for the man-child, and as we see in the dream, okay? History just repeats on a larger scale. Always does that. Then I saw men digging up an old grave site. There you go. They were digging in red dirt, representing the old man, right? And when they reached the bottom of the grave, they were amazed that it was empty. There wasn't even a coffin. Well, that's reminiscent of Jesus, the man-child, not being in the grave when they went to see, right? So this was a huge revelation to them because it was resurrection and it accompanied the great earthquake. And they went to look for David. So people now are looking for David because that anointing is upon the David man-child ministry. They had many questions about this. So the spiritual resurrection of the man-child will be a huge revelation. And then the people would be looking for the David man-child ministers after their death and resurrection to the throne. Anointing would have been completed. Their many questions could be answered then by Jesus manifested in the anointed man-child ministry, because they will have many answers, just as Jesus did. And this is all I remember from this dream. But then, here's a second dream in 2015. I dreamed that David had just raised a man from the dead. That's because the man-child Jesus resurrected Lazarus. Many were coming to the Lord, so that the chief priest decided to kill Jesus and Lazarus. Nasty people, huh? It went on. Everyone at UBM was excited, and we knew it was time for the feast. Okay, so the feast shortly after Lazarus' resurrection was the Passover, which represented that the man-child was crucified and there would be a Passover of judgment on the believers, right? We all gathered on the upper floor of David's house and were setting up a very long rectangular table with a white tablecloth. The feast. So this table was for the Last Supper, the Passover. Some people say it wasn't the Passover. It was the Passover for Jesus. It was a revelation of the Passover, right? He was the Passover lamb. So Luke 22:11, "And you shall say unto the master of the house, the teacher saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready." And 3 days after the Passover was the resurrection of Jesus and his catching up to the throne, as a type of the beginning of the ministry of the man-child of Revelation 12. And then we see this Passover beginning. Well, she said, "My oldest son, Noah, was 9 years old again in this dream, and he was demonized. So I brought him to David, and he cast the demons out of Noah, who was completely restored. and I was so glad to have my son restored to me, and I was just praising the Lord. Amen. So the people of God who dwell in the ark of Christ, Noah, right, have a Passover covenant, a right to deliverance of every sort. When Jesus started his ministry, he began to deliver the people of God. And as he said in Matthew 15 and 24, but he answered and said, I was not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, he was sent first to the covenant people to offer them this new covenant, right? After the Passover feast, I was walking with my sons out to the parking lot. Well, a parking lot is a place of rest from man's works, because vehicles are at rest. Our vehicles are at rest. And that's who we are, right? This was outside David's house because we were all going to the ocean. Okay, they left the house going to the ocean, right? This represents evangelism, the Great Commission being fulfilled to the peoples, nations, and tongues of those Christians under the harlot. Revelation 17 and 15 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the harlot sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Well, how come the harlot is sitting upon God's people? Well, if you look out there, you can see that that's exactly what's happening. What did the reformers come to do? Deliver them from the harlot religions. Just like Jesus did. There was a long RV parked illegally in David's parking lot. So this is a dual prophecy. Those resting in the flesh as an RV or recreational vehicle during the harvest are not in the rest of God and should not be in the parking lot that is for vehicles at rest from their own works. Right? We all have to keep the spiritual Sabbath, ceasing from our own works, right? So we can enter into the rest. And also, we are expecting an RV, a revaluation, which will put us to work in the harvest and should not be resting in the flesh at that time. So she says, as I walked by it, I saw a fierce tiger painted on the RV's side. I'm reminded of the term paper tiger. Yeah. Well, another dual prophecy. The faction fighting against the man-child is a paper tiger with no authority or power with God. Whereas the man-child driver of this RV is described like a tiger in Isaiah 11 and 4. Shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Mm-hmm. As I passed by the open door of the RV, a painter who was an enemy of David's, was mixing up some paint. Well, the factious leadership misrepresents the man-child reformers through character assassination, and just like they did Jesus, by the way, and would like to paint over the tiger. They disregard the authority and power of the tiger to their own undoing. He turned to me and complained that we, UBM members, were all parking in front of his no parking signs that he had placed all over the parking lot. They were very much against the rest, the faction, right? They never rested from their works. They didn't want us to either. So they would try to get us out of the rest, right? And they think that they have the power to bind or forbid the righteous, like the faction against Jesus, where Judas was a thief. So is the faction against the man-child Davids of our day. They are Judas's thieves claiming what is not theirs. John 10 and 10 says, "The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and may have it abundantly." And also in John 12 and 6, "Now this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he," that is Judas, "was a thief, and having the bag took away what was put therein." Okay. "I told him that he was the one illegally parked, and that he had no rights to be there. He said, 'Well, there's my father over there. You need to talk to him.'" So Jesus told the Pharisees. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8 and 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father thereof." And of course the faction were magnificent liars. "So I went over and started talking to his father. He started to repeat what his son had told me, but I refuted him at every turn, and he became nervous and quickly began to leave the property." "So the bride is therefore subject to God, and as in James 4 and 7, be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The bride has the real authority of the Lord due to holiness. Luke 10 and 19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." The next thing I remember, I was at the ocean with David and Michael and all of the UBM members. We were swimming in the ocean and ministering to the people there. The people there? Yeah, that's the multitudes of tribes and tongues were the water that the woman sat upon, right? So obeying the Great Commission by evangelizing the lost sheep under the harlot. That's what the waters represented. So there was a dividing wall under the ocean water in this area that we were swimming. And David and Michael were near that underwater wall up to their necks. Well, I believe the underwater wall represents the sanctification or division between the elect who will come to the Lord and the other side who will not come to the Lord. I saw Lexi playing with and tossing a ball in the water with David. Lexi means protector of mankind. Everyone was very joyous. I believe that's because the revival had begun. And going to the multitudes with that anointing of the man, child, and the bride is going to begin a great revival. And this is all I remember. Here's a verse given on 12:17-15 and dreams. Psalm 18 and 3. "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Please read the whole chapter, she says. It really goes with the dreams. Yes, it does. Verse 1, for the chief musician, a psalm of David. David is speaking here, okay? This represents the David man-child company of Revelation 12. The servant of the Lord who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So the apostate leadership that died at the hands of their old man of the land, right? The Philistines, right? As David became king. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I will take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Well, the dragon of Revelation 12 will fail to devour the man, child, and woman by God's grace. And of course, to devour them would be to bring them into its body, right? The dragon was, of course, Satan, and his body is those body of people that are his believers, right? And his servants. The cords of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The cords of Sheol were round about me. The snares of death came upon me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. There it is. The foundations also of the mountains quaked and were shaken. So these major earthquakes are coming when the Lord visits in the man-child company. Because he was wroth, there went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. That's the visitation of the Lord. He is coming in a man-child body of people that walk and talk and do as he did. And thick darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he soared upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place. Well, a visitation of the Lord hidden in the man-child ministry. Remember, Jesus, the Son of God, was hidden in the Son of David, the Son of Man. He was hidden there. They didn't recognize Jesus in that Son of David. And are they going to do it this time? No, they're not going to recognize him this time either. The disciples did, but the professional ministers did not. His pavilion round about him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. Oh my goodness, where do we see that? A judgment through Moses, the man-child, to set God's people free from the beast of that day, symbolizing our day. Exodus 9 and 24. So there was hail and fire, a strange mixture, mingled with hail, very grievous, such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. So there you have it. I mean, the Lord is identifying that timing, and something that's the same is coming. 13. Jesus also thundered in the heavens. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttereth his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. So as he has told us of the faction, like the Sennacherib scenario and Joel's northern army being scattered, right? So he scatters these. Yea, lightnings manifold and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters appeared, and the foundation of the world were laid bare. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of thy breath of thy nostrils. So he's coming with the earthquakes, when the evil foundations of the beast are becoming known, just like they are today. Everybody's getting a revelation of the beast that's actually been ruling, and people have been pledging allegiance to, right? He sent from on high, and he took me. So David, man-child, is taken to the throne. He drew me out of many waters, talking about the peoples of the lands, right? He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. Okay, I think we have come to that point. The factions against the man-child, as the dragon fails to devour him when he goes to the throne of David in Revelation 12, 4 and 5. So, when Jesus went to the throne, he had complete dominion over the Sanhedrin faction and delivered them to the Roman beast. For they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. Well, an hour before this revelation, I got by faith at random in 2 Samuel 22:18 through 20, which is this same psalm text. What a confirmation. The large place here is freedom of the man-child to do his works in the promised land. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Verse 20. The Lord hath rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. Again, this is David speaking, who is also a type and a shadow for the end-time man-child. And, of course, the Davids who walk righteously, even in the trials of Saul's persecution, are going to rule. The Son of God, who dwelt in the Son of David, the man-child, said in Matthew 21 and 42, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. This was from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Yes, amen. 1 Peter 2 and 7. For you therefore that believe is the preciousness, but for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected. The same was made the head of the corner. So just as Jesus was rejected, he was made the head. And just as the man-child is rejected by all the factious and other people out there that are apostate in their religion, that man-child is going to be made the head. And throughout the history of the Bible, the faction has rejected God's ordained leadership, who was given authority to judge them. In other words, became the head. Going on in the text, "For all his ordinances were before me, and I put not away his statutes from me. I was also perfect with him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. And with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the perfect man thou shalt show thyself perfect. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the perverse thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but the haughty eyes thou wilt bring down. For thou wilt light my lamp, Lord my God will lighten my darkness." Well, amen. Amen. So Jesus manifested in the David man-child reformers will give him authority over all of our enemies and supernatural ability, as we will see. Verse 29, "For by thee I run upon a troop, and by my God do I leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield unto all them that will take refuge in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock besides our God? The God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect, he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that mine arms do bend a bow of brass. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I will pursue mine enemies and overtake them. Neither will I turn again till they are consumed. I will smite them through, so that they shall not be able to rise. They shall fall under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also made mine enemies turn their backs unto me, that I might cut off them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the mire of the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the nations." There's the head again. "A people whom I have not known shall serve me, and as soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The foreigners shall submit themselves unto me. The foreigners shall fade away and shall come trembling out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Even the God that executeth vengeance for me and subdueth peoples under me. He rescueth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above them that rise up against me. Thou deliverest me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the nations, and will sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth loving kindness to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Okay, one more here. A man-child given throne dominion to minister. This was Kathy D's vision in 1998. Kathy came to us, and she was new to our teachings on these things, and she reported a dream that she had had that she didn't understand. And what she saw in a vision, that some people were being taken from the earth by beams of light that came down and gripped them by their heads and drew them up into heaven. She said that the Lord spoke and said that these people had the secret of planting corn. Jesus talked about planting corn, didn't he? The pure seeds. Unquote. So the Lord said that these people had the secret of planting corn, the pure seeds, which is the pure word, right? And she said that in her vision, she was standing in the shadow of a building when she saw this. So this is about the man-child being caught up to the throne of God, as Revelation 12 says. Some people believe they have seen a rapture. I got to tell you, this is the rapture that they're going to see on this end of the tribulation period. This. Not what they're thinking about the church flying away. This is what's going to happen. And to receive anointing and dominion to minister on the earth what they know of the true seed of God's word. That's what's going to happen. So these, as reformers, are going to replace the apostate ministry in the heart of the true church, like Jesus and Moses and Joseph, etc., did. The building Kathy saw was the traditional church, which she saw spiritually standing in the shadow at that time, because that's where she was. And as Jesus was a man-child on the spiritual throne of David to feed the woman, Israel, in her wilderness for 3.5 years before the great persecution, so the end-time man-child company in whom Jesus lives will feed spiritual New Testament Israel, the church, for 3.5 years before their persecution. Revelation 12 and 5. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Now Jesus said this was the overcomers, right? And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. That's what Jesus ministered to the people for 3.5 years. And so shall the man-child do the exact same thing. For 3.5 years before the great persecution comes, with the mark of the beast at the middle of the tribulation period, and so on. So, well, we've gone over a little bit again, but that's okay. The Lord will forgive us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Please make this revelation plain to the people. If they have to, go back through it again. But it's happening. God bless you, saints. Bye-bye.